Dale Carnegie's book, How to Win Friends and Influence People, was a huge seller back in the 40s and 50s. I was going to write a book once, but I never did. And my subject was going to be the purpose of the New Testament church. Unless led by the Holy Spirit, I quit giving what became known as the invitation at the end of my sermons many years ago. I say all this as an introduction to this morning's message. I don't mean I never give an invitation. When moved by the Spirit of God, I give an invitation. But I generally do not. The invitation is in the bulletin. The invitation is at any time of the day or night, any week, any month, any year, and I know Brother BJ echoes my sentiments. You can call us. We will talk to you about Jesus. I want you to listen this morning to what the Lord Jesus Christ had to say about those who become his followers. This, beloved, is the reality of being a born-again Christian in a lost and dying world. It's found in John chapter 15. It's only two verses long. Verses 18 and 19 of John 15. Here we have recorded the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Now, I don't believe that too many of our churches in America today, with the inclination towards size and the number of members on the church roll, would end one of their worship services with what the Lord voiced in this morning's reading to you. You want to join us here in this little body of Christ? The world's going to hate you. Right? Right or wrong, you know it's right. The world hates God's people. The idea of being politically correct and providing an air of comfort and entertainment has replaced, it seems, the seriousness of being a true representative of Jesus Christ and a witness to his saving grace in a lost and dying world. I want to put as best I can what Jesus says in our text in the language of today. It goes like this. If you want this world of business, politics, and religion to hate you, follow me. I repeat. If you want this world of business, politics, and religion to hate you, follow me. My dear friends, If this sounds extreme to you or makes you feel uncomfortable, then I believe I've achieved the goal God has in mind for us this morning. I want to read an old hymn to you. I want you to listen to the words. Am I a soldier of the cross? A follower of the Lamb? And shall I fear to own his cause or blush to speak his name? Must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease while others fought to win the prize and sail through bloody seas? Are there no foes for me to face? Must I not stem the flood? Is this vile world a friend of grace to help me on to God? Sure, I must fight if I would reign. Increase my courage, Lord. I'll bear the toil, endure the pain, supported by thy word. Boy, that's a tough song to sing. You know what? Is it tough for you to sing that song? It's tough for me to sing that song. Maybe that's because I'm weaker than the rest of you. I don't know. But I know this. History tells us that it is very true that this sin-sick world hates the Son of the Living God and his blood-bought followers. In the Old Testament, we discover how the world was going to treat Jesus, recorded in the book of Isaiah the prophet. Turn with me now, if you will, to the chapter number, let me find it here, 53. Isaiah chapter 53. I think probably every Christian needs to read this maybe once a week. It wouldn't hurt us a bit. I want to read the entire chapter to you. It's only 4 verses long. I want you to follow in your Bibles. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of his soul. He was oppressed and was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, but he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he is cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked, with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed and shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide my portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he has poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors. And he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. There it is, isn't it? Over 700 years before his birth in the manger in Bethlehem, Isaiah recorded exactly and in detail how Jesus Christ would be treated by the world. Today, we read how Jesus' followers in Syria, in Lebanon, in Iran, in Iraq, and other ISIS and Mohammedan enclaves are tortured, are raped, and are beheaded. It's in our newspapers, TV newscasts, day after day after day. Still, some 2,000 years after the Imperial Rome hung the bleeding Savior on that cross with nails piercing his hands and feet, the hate continues. In World War II, some 70 plus years ago, think about that, World War II, 70 plus years ago, after that war, during which thousands upon thousands of Jesus' race, the Jews, were gassed in massive furnaces, used as guinea pigs in medical experiments. Here in the United States, as we celebrate our so-called religious freedom, we murder babies daily. Prayer prohibited in our public schools. Officials placed in jail to refuse lesbian couples and homosexuals. Attempt to have the words "In God We Trust" taken off our coinage. We allow Americans listen to me. We allow the Supreme Court to make law rather than interpret. Are you listening to me? Am I saying go out and march against the government, rabble rouse? And I'm not saying that. I'm just telling you what's going on. Every day, every week, every month. We continue to ignore the complete and total separation of church and state, and the church is guilty of this as well. Even as it is being taken away from us, the lack of backbone of our elected representatives in the Congress of the United States is a sad reflection on our nation today.
Amen.
What has this got to do with hating Jesus, you say? And I tell you, everything. We're told how to be good citizens in the book of Romans. In the book of God. If you're a Christian, this is how you behave. 12th chapter of Romans. Must have been important to God to let us know how Christian citizens should act. And it's a sad reflection, of course, on our nation in this world. What has all this got to do with it? Everything. Satan is having his way in America today, just as he did in Israel, as recorded in the Old Testament of this book. It's nothing new. Why is that? Maintaining the faith once delivered unto the saints is a battle, and it will be until the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. How many believe that? How many believe? Raise your hand if you believe that. If you really believe that. What I'm preaching to you this morning is God's truth. None of this is new. Since the garden, when God said to Eve, oh, did he really say? It's been that way. Did God really say that? We have too many people telling us, I think what God meant was, instead of, but God says, thus saith the Lord, amen? The epistles in the New Testament warned the New Testament church that maintaining the faith once delivered to the saints is a battle and will be until his return. Studying Timothy with Brother BJ and what did Paul say to Timothy, BJ? He said this, fight the good fight. That's what he said. Young pastor, church at Ephesus. Timothy, they got in the church now. Fight the good fight. They're getting to us. Fight the good fight. It hasn't changed a lot. As the old hymn informed us, must you and I be carried to those blessed skies on flowery beds of ease? Of course not. Christ's invitation to follow him is crystal clear. Jesus warned his disciples to count the cost before they followed him. Remember? Count the cost. This Bible never promises flowery beds of ease to God's people. I can't find it anywhere. Not while we're where? In this world. That's why the Bible stresses the fact that God's people are in this world, but not of this world. That's the difference. That's the only difference. I think it's time for us to realize there is a cost to being a Christian. And it is simply this. The lost world will hate us. Preach that today, and most folks will go elsewhere. But I have good news for you. Those of you who believe the Word of God, the world may hate you, Christian, but only till you leave it. Amen?
Amen?
Praise the Lord. Only till you leave it. While you're in it, you have what the world can never give you. Right now, if you're trusting Jesus Christ, you have hope and you have joy, and you have the peace that passes all understanding. You know, that's because the Spirit of God now dwells in you. Think about that. The indwelling Spirit of God. You're not going to have eternal life after you die. You have eternal life now. Death has no power over you. Hate can't hurt you, won't hurt you. The last verse of that old hymn truly says it all. Sure, I must fight if I have a grain. Increase my courage more. I'll bear the toil, endure the pain, supported by your word. Amen. Christian, you have everything you need. You have God's wonderful word in creation, in the book, and in the living word, Jesus Christ. Satan, you see, doesn't want us to count the cost of being followers of Jesus, because he knows if we do, if we get into the word, if we become his followers, he knows we discover something. It's free. Doesn't cost us a dime. Amen? It's free. It's the gift of God to all who believe. Satan is so stupid. That's right. That's right. Absolutely free. Jesus paid it all. We sing that song with lusty, you know, Jesus paid it. He paid it all. It is the gift of God to all who believe. You see, the world's hate is wasted on the children of God. Isn't that interesting? The message this morning, then, rather than being bad news, is good news. It's called the gospel, by the way. The good news. Good news. It's the good news of Jesus Christ. Hate loses, love wins. Amen? Remember what Jesus said in the morning text. The world hateth me, Jesus said, before it hated you. Think about that truth. Think about that truth. You see, my friends, God loved the world that hates his people so much that he sent Jesus to save all who would believe his word. That's right, beloved. From that hate, from that hate of the world, Jesus came to seek and to save you and me. Hate loses. That's a message. That's a message. Hate loses and love wins.